The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Podcast movie segment. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad, and welcome. We are brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today, and GameStop, power to the players. So for a good portion of my life, I have had a real love for gangster movies. I've devoured pretty much whatever I could find, from the silly My Blue Heaven, Rick Moranis and Steve Martin, to its darker cousin, Goodfellas. Turns out, written by husband and wife, the wife wrote My Blue Heaven, the husband wrote Goodfellas, after interviewing the same guy. All the way to Godfather 2. Now, one of the most famous gangster musicals, Guys and Dolls, may be heading back to the big screen. Now, the last time this was on screen, Marlon Brando and Frank Sinatra had the big roles. Good luck getting those guys back, but with any luck, we might get to see Nathan Lane reprise his role from Broadway in the film version.
Nice.
So, luck be a lady.
I do like Nathan Lane.
I do too. Carol Burnett is a national treasure. If you don't agree, that's fine, because everyone's allowed to be wrong about things. A film based on her 2013 book, Carrie and Me, A Mother-Daughter Love Story, is in the works, and Carol Burnett and Tina Fey are producing. There's also a couple of guys attached that no one knows or cares about outside of their families. But the story follows Burnett's life as seen through the eyes of her daughter, Carrie, who overcame a pretty public struggle with drug addiction, got clean, and then died of cancer at the age of 38. So expect this one to hit some emotional highs and lows, probably in the same scenes when all this is carried through. For those who grew up watching Sex and the City, and let's face it, let's face it, we're all a little bit older, a little bit more mature, and wondering, is all the sex used up? Well, HBO is following up. Well, not HBO, but the follow-up to the HBO Emmy Award-winning show is heading into production, and the title is There Still Sex in the City? Paramount and Anonymous Content have acquired the rights and are sending into production as a look at sex, relationships, life, and work for the 50-60-something woman in New York. My snarky side wants to say, didn't they do this with Hot in Cleveland? But that'd be in poor taste. So for those fans of Sex and the City, Lipstick Jungle, The Carrie Diaries, take a look. It might be right up your alley. Disney is putting together a team of writers and composers to try and bring The Princess Bride to the stage. It's been attempted in the past and things just didn't work out. But now that Disney's having a lot of success with their movies taking the stage, Frozen, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, this one has a lot of great potential. I'm not sold on the musical part of it, but the story itself could certainly get my $60 to $100 on Broadway. There's a trailer for Dora and the Lost City of Gold, and you can find it at geekcavepodcast.com. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
I want to watch it, but I don't know if I want to spend money to watch it.
So wait, it's at geekcavepodcast.com right now?
Yes, the trailer is.
Vamanos, let's go.
I kind of want someone to buy it or rent it and then have me over for beer and baklava and we'll watch it. I'll bring the baklava.
I was going to say, why baklava?
Because it was a good alliteration with beer.
Fair enough.
It looks funny in that Disney afternoon kind of way. But, you know, Danny Trejo is voicing Boots the Monkey. And so that alone deserves attention.
Yes.
And I kind of want to know more.
I'm sold.
So that sparks joy. Justin, you said you had something that sparked joy, or at least was leading toward positive.
Yes. Last year, Deadpool 2 hit theaters.
Right.
It was a good movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was as good as the first one, but it was definitely a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that prompted a bunch of people to complain that they couldn't take their kids to see it because it's a rated R movie.
Oh, damn.
So Fox put together a PG-13 version called Once Upon a Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
hit limited mm-hmm. release in theaters around Christmas time, where proceeds went to the F Cancer Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't get a chance to see it, and it was sad, but oh well. A couple weeks ago, I'm wandering around my local, big
store, store that sells things.
Yes, big giant warehouse store that sells things. And on the shelf, I see a Blu-ray copy of Once Upon a Deadpool. So I picked it up mm-hmm. and I watched it, and it's good.
Really?
Yeah. The additional scenes with Fred Savage playing on the Princess Bride,
mm-hmm.
Those were funny. The banter between Savage and Deadpool was just great. I loved that. If you've not seen The Princess Bride, you won't get a lot of those jokes, so I recommend watching The Princess Bride and then watching Once Upon a Deadpool.
This should not be a hardship. Princess Bride is a modern treasure.
It is, yes. The first noticeable difference I saw between the rated R version and the PG-13 movie, PG-13 version, was that entire first scene where he's hacking and slashing to Dolly Parton's 9 to 5 right out the window.
They get rid of 9 to 5?
They got rid of 9 to 5. They got rid of the whole thing.
Oh, they didn't just change the song.
No, they got rid of that whole scene.
Yeah, are they just going to switch it over to, Under Pressure or something?
Yes. No, they had to cut back on the violence a little bit, and that was the biggest, bigger sources. A lot of the editing to accommodate the F-bombs flying everywhere, it was just bleeped.
Hmm.
I was kind of hoping that they would have gone back and, dubbed over something else, but no, they just bleeped it. There's a scene where, if you've not seen Deadpool 2, spoilers, Deadpool gets ripped in half and the bottom half is regrowing.
Mm-hmm.
There's scenes of that are pixelated for the PG-13 release. It's like they tried up to a point to make it PG-13, and then they just said, screw it, we're just gonna edit it like we would for television. So there's pixelation and bleeping. So it's it's a fun ride. They didn't screw up the story. They didn't edit it down so much that it was unwatchable. The stuff they added in to make up the time was worth it. My spouse actually said she liked the PG-13 cut better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. So if you see it, give it a chance. Give it a chance. From what I've been able to ascertain, it was released in mid-January, and for the first month or so, a portion of the proceeds went to F Cancer. I don't know if that's still a thing, because I found it in March.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so, because it's a worthwhile cause. But if you see Once Upon a Deadpool, give it a try. It's a fun watch.
Cool. What do you got, Darren?
A couple of things. First, everyone's favorite or least favorite DC Comics director, depending on who you ask, Zack Snyder, has received a bit of blowback for something he said at a recent fan event. As you know, one of the more controversial parts of Batman v Superman was the fact that Batman became a raging murderer. And at a recent fan event, Snyder ripped into fans who were bothered by that, saying, quote, really, wake the F up. I guess that's what I'm saying about once you've lost your virginity to this bleeping movie, then you come and say something to me like, my superhero wouldn't do that. And goes on to say, it's a cool point, but to say my heroes are still innocent, my heroes don't lie to America, they don't embezzle money, and they don't commit any atrocities, you're living in a bleeping dream world. I would just reply to Mr. Snyder that that's the whole point of superheroes, is they are better. And also, I hope you never direct a DC movie again. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem to get it, I guess.
No.
Snyder is next returning to the zombie genre with his Netflix movie Army of the Dead. So that's where you can find...
That'll probably be a better place for him.
Yeah, that's where you can find Zack Snyder again. Stephen Colbert, if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and find it. Stephen Colbert absolutely ripped this guy a new one for that argument. So that's a fun watch.
That man is a national treasure.
And this is coming from someone who liked Batman v Superman, but come on.
I'm sorry, what?
Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of Deadpool, as earlier, Fox's layoffs have begun after the merger with Disney. That is 100% finally done. We can stop talking about it. About 4,000 jobs expected to be cut after the $71.3 billion acquisition of 21st Century Fox. Kevin Feige of the Marvel Studios says that now that things are complete, they're going to hit the ground running with properties like X-Men and Fantastic Four, but he didn't say what that means, so we have no idea. I hope it is kind of like something we talked about earlier where Wolverine just shows up at the end of Endgame. I'd laugh my ass off if Doctor Strange comes back to life, opens a portal, and says, I found the one way we can beat Thanos, and Hugh Jackman steps out.
Either that or Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds dressed as Wolverine.
Wearing a power ring. Like, it's just completely wrong.
Yes.
Turns out it's a green ring pop.
I'd be okay with that. That's fine. Speaking of the merger, something occurred to me today. I don't know that this is going to happen. This is just me speculating wildly, as I'm wont to do. So Disney now owns Lucasfilms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney now owns 20th Century Fox.
Uh-huh.
20th Century Fox owned the rights to the original, unaltered, theatrical version of Star Wars.
This is true.
Now Disney owns everything Star Wars related.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There might be a chance we could see a release of the unaltered theatrical format.
I'll believe it when it's in my DVD
I know.
Player.
Me too. But I
Blu-ray
think,
player. I don't have a DVD player anymore.
Yeah. When it's in my Betamax.
When I'm playing that sweet laser disc.
But I mean, that may have been the big holdup. Yeah, they own the right. Yeah, Disney owned the rights to Star Wars. But the theatrical version, the one that Lucas didn't go back and muck with to add whatever, which nobody really cared about, was owned by 20th Century Fox. Now Disney owns it. There's a little bit more of a chance that we could see that in the future.
The chance has gone from zero to about one.
I know. And we now have a new hope.
Fair.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did there. All right. Darren, did you have more
stuff? Could you explain it to me? Because somebody just handed me on a card and said, read this.
I don't have anything else now.
All right. So with Endgame a little under a month away and clocking in at a reported 3 hours and 2 minutes...
Go to the bathroom ahead of time.
The fan theories are running rampant. And the only one that I want to mention, because it has been the funniest one that's shown up in my feeds lately, suggests that it's going to end when Ant-Man crawls up Thanos' hind sphincter and then becomes Giant Man. So they specifically asked Paul Rudd this in an interview and then added Josh Brolin. That section of the interview, Josh Brolin responded by posting a video of him straining mightily on a toilet to show that he is training. Other than that, I
piggybacking on that, I saw a picture of, you know, it was you know, something clearly Photoshopped, but it was Ant-Man bathing in hot sauce in preparation for said maneuver for that extra bit of bite.
I think that we can safely say that 3 out of 3 Geek Cave podcast hosts are looking forward to seeing the film.
Yes.
Yes.
And estimates right now are suggesting that opening weekend for Endgame could cross the $800 million mark.
Damn.
Just in the opening weekend, because they're going to open worldwide pretty much in the same 2 days.
Yeah.
But we don't know anything concrete about Endgame other than the photos that were in color. Those are the ones that can die, people.
Mm-hmm.
No.
All right. So let's talk about Captain Marvel, which is a great movie with a lot to recommend it.
Yes.
And I think we talked about it a little bit last month. Brie Larson nailed Carol Danvers. Her inclusion in Endgame will likely bring a few cheers when she has a hero moment. She now has the biggest global debut for a woman-fronted film so far, and the second biggest debut for a superhero movie right behind Infinity War.
I'm happy with this.
As of March 28th at the global box office, it has $938.1 million in box office receipts and will likely cross the $1 billion mark before Endgame shows up. Captain Marvel has a lot to recommend. Go see it if you've not.
Yes.
The time has passed. You're not going to have a whole bunch of people crowding in the place. Now you just got to worry about comic bro who's back there talking about all the things that are wrong.
And if that happens,
sit in the back seat.
If that happens, Justin White of the Geek Cave podcast gives you express permission to throw your soda at him and tell him to shut the fuck up.
So that's what I have. If there's no other news, then all I got's the random review.
Okay.
All right.
Kent.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's random movie review.
Guys, the dice spoke off mic and recommended the movie Kissing Booth. And I don't want to be overly mean. I'm trying this new positivity thing. And so I will say that this movie is positively bad. This movie, the story of which was written by a 15-year-old female that I'm convinced, after watching this movie, has real talent for characters and for world building, but whose understanding of relationships, romance, and masculinity are the result of reading the Twilight series, the 50 Shades of Grey books, and thinking to herself, how can I make those relationships look healthy?
Wow.
This movie is regressive, misogynistic, and so full of toxic masculinity that I felt like I had to apologize to my partner after watching it. And it's a shame, because the hook's not without merit. I mean, the hook for the thing is that Elle and Lee were born at the same time, they're best friends, and to the movie's credit, the two are good examples of best friends. They're silly together, they hold each other accountable. Generally, the chemistry there is good. When they were six, they came up with a set of rules for their friendship, one of which is relatives of your best friend are totally off limits. Not a bad rule, you know, really. And Elle having a crush on Lee's brother is a decent place to challenge the friendship. Unfortunately, the movie also suffers from a couple things. Namely, an idiot plot. An idiot plot, for those of you who don't know, is any plot that exists because one or more of the characters is an idiot. Okay? An understanding of relationships that's so regressive that there are people watching this from the 1940s. They're like, you know, I was looking forward to some smooching during the cinematic entertainment, but after watching this, I was in the hot seat with the wife. You know what? You don't need to know anything else about this movie. Here's the big spoiler. They stay friends. Elle gets to keep her relationship with the brother. Happy endings all around. But you know what pissed me off about the movie from beginning to end? Every male in this blasted thing is trying to claim ownership of the main character. And while her words are good about them being controlling, you know, stop controlling me. The days of you controlling me are over. Her behavior suggests that's not actually, the controlling isn't actually a problem. On her first day back to school, Elle has to wear a skirt that's too small. Her uniform pants rip. And her backup pants are at the cleaners, and the backup to the backups, I guess, is her uniform skirt from eighth grade. This is somebody who's a junior in high school.
Okay.
It's mighty short.
Yeah.
Okay, and apparently the school would punish her more for wearing, I don't know, just regular dress pants. or a reasonable skirt or... But while wearing the super short skirt, a dude bro assaults her by slapping her behind. So this leads to the brother of the best friend beating him up. Elle getting pulled into the principal's office for a uniform violation where she gets, you know, detention because it's her fault that the guy slapped her.
Yeah.
Also for wearing the skirt that's too short. The guy that slapped her also gets detention. And during detention, he asks her out. Because that's a normal thing, you know, that, man, I mean, that's how I really made a good impression on my, you know, future spouse, was just slapping her on the ass as she was, you know, trying to find the oil and vinegar in the salad bar. But what gets me is that she agrees to the date, because she's never been on a date. She wants to, even with dude bro, so long as he wears the same skirt that got her into trouble earlier. Which he does. In what is the funniest scene of the thing is watching a 6.5 foot tall football player-y kind of guy wearing a very tiny skirt and dancing. Imagine me doing it and you get why it's funny.
Yeah.
But then he stands her up at the date because the brother, the best friend's brother that she has a crush on, has been threatening anybody that makes a move on her.
Huh.
Her whole school career.
Huh.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing wrong with waiting to be in a relationship. Nothing at all. Wait till you're ready. You know, dip your toe in the pool, you know, at your own pace. There is something wrong with somebody stopping you from having relationships.
Yes.
Now, never mind that from this point onward, the brother has claimed ownership of Elle. The dude bro has apparently considered her a piece of meat. The principal so hard-nosed that she wore ridiculous clothes rather than risk being out of uniform. And to top it off, her best friend, when he finds out about the relationship, says, and I quote, "You know, my whole life, Noah's gotten everything he's ever wanted. The only thing I had that he didn't was you, and now he has that too." If there is a more infuriating line in the entirety of modern filmmaking, I have yet to hear it. The objectification, the marginalization, the toxic, violent, uber-macho baloney that makes up this piece of poop is so full on display here that not only do I not want to watch it ever again, I don't even want to waste your time, dear readers, listeners, viewers, on any further reviewing. Don't be like me.
Wow.
And don't see the sequel.
I was gonna
that's
say,
about did, to come out.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. With no other news, that's it for us. For Kent, who once wounded a bear with the power of his voice. Darren, whose dulcet tones healed it. Justin, whose silky baritone lulled it to sleep. I'm Chad, the guy pooping himself in the corner because bears. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.